It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back to throw. They pick up the blitz. Throws one left down the sideline into the end zone. Touchdown! Hakeem Nicks! Vic takes the snap again. Pumps. He's going to get sacked by Tuck. Fumbles the football. Giants have it at the 26-yard line. Draw right for Bradshaw. Cuts at the one. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Nice run by Bradshaw to run it in for 4 yards out. Manning will throw on first and 10. Heaves one deep down the left side for Manningham, who makes the catch. Gallops out of a tackle to the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Lance Meadow, and of course, you as always. It is a Monday morning. We're with you from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call, 201-939-4513, if you want to get in on the show. We're talking all things Big Blue, Monday Night Football, the big stage, the bright lights, and a lot's on the line here. NFC East, it's getting competitive. If you watch that Sunday night football game last night with the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas wins, so they're still somewhat alive. You've got the Washington Redskins, who have high hopes tonight, and of course, the New York football Giants, who are pretty much in control of their own destiny. Again, 201-939-4513. Also monitoring Twitter, all things social media during the show. You can find us on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. If you have any questions or comments. And Lance, first and foremost, I mean, I know this is the first time you and I have had an opportunity to host the show in quite a while, but the Giants look like a much different team coming off that bye. Very impressive win against the Green Bay Packers. Now a solid week. I was here all week. Players, coaches feel very good about this matchup. And pretty interesting, the second time they will face RG3 tonight.
And it's hard to determine really who has an advantage in that matchup, Anita, because I think RG3 has a better feel for the Giants defense, and the Giants defense has a better feel for what RG3 is capable of. You remember when the Giants won 27-23 a couple of weeks ago, a lot of Giants defensive players said he was arguably one of the best quarterbacks they've ever gone up against, and he's only a rookie. So clearly he has a tremendous amount of talent. He's improved even since that last contest. He has really aired things out in their previous two victories against the Eagles and the Cowboys because of the return, I think, of Pierre Garçon and Alfred Morris running the football consistently. To me, I'll be surprised whether or not Washington can pick up where it left off in running the football like it did in that first matchup. Morris had 120 yards, and that really opened things up tremendously for Robert Griffin III. That's when they get into that play-action situation, and he's able to look down the field not just to one player. He does a nice job of spreading the wealth. If for some reason Morris doesn't get over 100 yards or is not able to set the tempo on the ground, you have to wonder, will he have nearly as much success through the air tonight?
I had an opportunity to talk to linebacker Michael Boley, and I asked him, I said, after that game, I said, what is the problem? What is the issue? Why are teams able to run? You guys arguably have the best defensive line in the NFL. Linebacking core is solid. Nothing to write home about, but solid. What is it? Why are teams able to rush on you? And why it's like they come out of the box able to rush on the Giants. Keep in mind, they turn things around against Alfred Morris the second half. And Michael Boley said it's been very interesting this season, very weird this season. One game, they're tackling extremely well, but their gap assignments are off. And then the next game, their gap assignments are straight on, but they're not tackling well. He said the two have not come together. You did see it against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, and not that the Green Bay Packers have a big threat in the backfield with either James Starks or Alex Green, but nonetheless, I think it's going to be a much different first half. You're absolutely right. That first half, I want to say it was 95, 96 yards.
The bulk of his yards came in that first half.
Alfred Morris put up against the Giants in that first half, and that was definitely a big difference maker when they did come out the second half and able to shut that down. And you really hit the nail on the head. If there's one thing this young rookie RG3 can do really well, Lance, and that is play action. And he's so good at disguising and hiding the ball. I mean, you know, he faked me out. Up in the press box, when I saw it live, he faked the camera guys out, and he definitely, a lot of the players talked about that this week in regard to just how slick he is. So.
And Pierre Garçon is back, Anita, and I think that that's a huge advantage for the Redskins. Remember, he had a great debut after he signed from Indy against the New Orleans Saints. Then he gets that foot injury, has been out. You know, they've made do without him, but this is a player that the Giants haven't seen thus far up close and personal. They have only seen him on film, and I think that that adds a whole new dimension to the Redskins' offense. He was very productive against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Again, we are on social media, all things, on Twitter, at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. And our show question right now is, give us your final prediction for the Monday Night Football matchup. You've got the Giants going up against the Redskins tonight at our Capitol in Washington, D.C. Have you been to FedEx Field before?
I have not been to FedEx. I've been to that neighborhood, but I've not been to FedEx Field.
It's really, it's a fun place to watch a ball game because... down there, Redskins Nation, they love their Redskins. They love their football. It's an electric area. It's an electric stadium.
And they have reason to be excited now.
Oh, absolutely. Even before RG3.
when they were three and six.
When Rex Grossman was their quarterback. it's a fun venue to go watch a football game. This is OSU_Bucks, Ohio State University _Bucks 2745 says, the G-Men 31. The Redskins 28. That's his prediction. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game as well.
You never know when it comes to divisional games. I mean, look at the Falcons-Saints game Thursday. I think everybody thought that was going to be an offensive clinic, and that's why I bring that up as an example, because we tend to feel as if the way games went the first matchup, it's just going to continue because the defenses and the offenses haven't changed dramatically. But the Saints could not get their offense moving against an Atlanta defense that has been very up and down, and Matt Ryan and company were not in sync against a Saints defense that hasn't looked very well. So I don't know what to make of scores and whether or not the trends are going to continue. I think on paper, it's an attractive matchup for Eli Manning because the Redskins are not very good against the pass. They're at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the league rankings. But, you know, the Giants' defense and offense really came together in this Packers contest. And the big question that I'll throw out, and feel free to weigh in, 201-939-4513, what team is going to show up tonight, Anita? I think that's what I'm interested to see. Is it going to be them building off of what they produced against the Green Bay Packers, or is it going to be this up-and-down performance, which we've seen at times this year, as well as last season?
Pretty interesting. I'm sure a lot of folks, because I hear you guys talk about it, because whenever you guys talk about our fantasy football league, my Twitter blows up because you guys are usually talking about how horrible I did that week. But
we can't help it.
Yeah, but I spent all my money on this week. I spent all my money on Matt Ryan going up against the New Orleans Saints, and he pretty much, you know, the bed. And then,
the bed. We'll leave it at that.
Blank the bed.
Yes.
And then, I spent a lot of money on Trent Richardson. I thought for sure after what the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, did to the Oakland Raiders last week. And I heard that the weather conditions were not going to be good. There was this storm that was going to hit Oakland. And so.
Well, you got your touchdown.
So, yeah, but not the performance that I thought from either one of those guys. And then I spent a dollar on this Bryce Brown dude from Philadelphia, and he blows it up last night.
Yeah.
You know, probably helped keep me in the middle of the pack, hopefully, once Melroy gets done with the numbers. But. You know, you just, you're absolutely, my whole point to this, Lance, is that you're right. You never know. You never know. This might, for all we know, both these defenses will show up and this might be a 17-14 game. You know, I'm not anticipating that, but it very well could be.
And the reason you don't know is because these teams know each other so well. They know the schemes. The personnel hasn't changed drastically. And that's why everybody's saying, well, the Giants are going to be the first team to get their second look at Robert Griffin III, and that gives them a huge advantage. And that's why I always say, well, you have to look at things from the opposite side. The Redskins are getting now their second look at the Giants. Robert Griffin III has been exposed to different defenses the last couple of weeks. He's learned a lot more. That could be an advantage with respect to him. So it'll be very interesting to see how this contest plays out. But I think it's important when it's all said and done, regardless of what the Redskins' strengths and weaknesses are, the Giants need to dictate the tempo of this game on the ground. They need to build off of what they were able to produce against the Packers. To me, it doesn't matter if Andre Brown is healthy or not anymore, and whether or not they have to give more carries to David Wilson. Ahmad Bradshaw has proved that when they get him out into open space, they use the running backs in the flat to get short passes. They're moving the chains more consistently, and I would think that's an area they'd like to continue to build upon.
It's going to be really interesting, Lance, to see what happens tonight in that backfield. We're going to get into it, but we've got a special lady holding on. This is Melroy's mother, Joan, calling in. Hi, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you?
Hi, Anita. Hi, Lance. I'm doing fine, thank you. I can't believe you just said that.
I have
a good question for you, though.
Okay, wait, but I have some questions for
you. This is going to get interesting.
So are you a big Giants fan? Have you always been a Giants fan, or are you just a Giants fan now because your son works for the organization?
No, I've always been a Giants fan. I am a huge sports fan in general, and Giants have always been my football team.
That's awesome. Well, I love working with your son. I think he's fantastic, and we welcome you to the show. So what's your Giants question?
My Giants question is, I'm wondering what your thoughts are if there were four safeties on the field at the same time, if that could possibly be a viable option to stop RG3.
Well, actually, we saw it. And Joan, thank you for your phone call. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. We saw that. Perry Fuel teed that up against Aaron Rodgers. Now, of course, Aaron Rodgers is a much different quarterback than RG3. Typically, what Perry Fuel likes to do, Lance, is have a quote-unquote spy. For those type of quarterbacks, like the Michael Vicks, like the Cam Newtons, like the RG3s. So I keep on using the word interesting a lot today, but I do think that it's going to be interesting to see. Keep in mind, there's some big question marks about Kenny Phillips. He did practice this week, although he was limited. Not sure if he's going to play. I don't think he's going to play. We won't know until the active-inactive list comes out. But if he doesn't play, keep in mind, you still have Will Hill and Stevie Brown, who've done great back there with Antrell Roll. So,
and it's allowed Antrell Roll to go to that corner slot position, which he played that all of last season, and that enabled him to have a matchup advantage against some wide receivers. And like the Packers, the Redskins will spread you out wide. They have a lot of different weapons, and I think that when you have an extra safety on the field, it can help in slowing down a team that is really built around the passing attack. But what creates somewhat of an issue is, as you just mentioned, the need of the Kenny Phillips injury. So I just don't think mathematically it may be capable to throw four safeties out there tonight. This also relates to a tweet we just got from Saraceno at SJS0816 saying, why is Kenny Phillips listed as doubtful? I thought everyone said he could have went back in last game. Guess it is a big deal.
Well, time out. He said, not everyone.
Correct.
Kenny Phillips said that he could go back in last week. Not everybody said.
Which is why you have to slightly read into what the players say and digest it and then move on. I mean, most players certainly want to overcome injuries and act as if it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't think Kenny's going to go tonight. That's what my gut's telling me. I don't know anything. Giants haven't announced anything. That's just what my gut's telling me. But again, keep in mind, Will Hill's, you know, he's definitely stepped up. He had that four-game suspension that kind of set him back a little bit. So now he's just getting back into the groove. And Stevie Brown has been terrific. I mean, he won, NFC Defensive Player of the Week 1 week.
And a huge asset on special teams, too. I mean, he's been Mr. Versatility. This is why they brought a player like that in, Anita. You know, Kenny Phillips got hurt. Antrell Roll got hurt. And who has stepped up time and time again? It's been Stevie Brown. So the fact that Perry Fuel is able to mix and match him, this is why they're reaping the benefits right now, because your depth chart's being tested and they're able to plug in players. And certainly Stevie Brown is a guy that I think has answered the call, and Will Hill too. I mean, the Giants certainly have to be happy with some of the players that they brought in that, compared to other players who are racking in big mega bucks for the investment that they made on some of these other guys. I don't know if they expected the level of production to be where it is, but they'll take it any day of the week.
Again, 201-939-4513, the phone number, Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, and of course you. Keep in mind, I do want to talk about the running back situation. Don't let me forget that before we sign off at 10:30. Let's go to Lynn, calling in from Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Great. Hey, look, it's going to go up to 65 degrees here. We may be able to get 18 holes in before the game tonight.
I'm jealous. Some of us have to work.
You got a busy day ahead of you then, Len.
You got a busy day, right? I got my ticket. I can't wait to get out there. And, you know, Anita, it may be a great venue when you get inside that stadium, but getting to that stadium is really a pain in the neck. God, the parking is awful. But in any event, that's where they play, so that's where I'm going to be tonight.
Fantastic.
24 points. We got to score 24. I'm a little superstitious. 11 of the games, 12 of the games played so far this weekend, 24 points would have won the game. So I'm going with 24 points. And my keys to the game, I want to see, you know, I mean, Griffin's exciting, and he's good. He's not just exciting, he's good. I mean, there's no question about it. Can't take that away from the young man. He goes on the ground 25 times tonight. We're going to sack him 5 times. He wants to run that option, Anita, and fake everybody in the stadium out. One guy tackles him every time he runs that option. Put him on the ground. I'm not talking about hurting him now. Don't get me wrong here. I just want to tire this guy out. If he runs 10 times, there's no such thing as out of bounds. Even if we're pushing him out of bounds, we got to get our hands on him. 25 times, we're putting this guy on the ground.
Well, Lynn.
Five sacks, 24 points, putting RG 3 on the ground 25 times. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just, you know, and Lance, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. And that is, you know, this Giants defensive line, they really haven't had the success this season as we saw them last year in regard to sack numbers, sack stats. Say that 5 times fast. But just recently what we're seeing is that NASCAR package. Perry Fuel has now taken, and he has the luxury to do this because guys like Mark Herzlick and if Keith Rivers can stay healthy, he has the ability to do this, is move Kiwi on the defensive line, and we're seeing that NASCAR package. And we saw that against Aaron Rodgers, and it worked out really well. So keep an eye on that. Do you, Lance, think we're gonna see a lot of NASCAR package tonight against RG3?
Well, Kiwanuka is so effective when he's brought down to the line, as you just touched on. So I don't see why Perry Fuel would get away from that concept.
Go ahead, Lynn.
What else? You have?
I was gonna say, I wouldn't play Kiwanuka at linebacker at all tonight. I want Kiwanuka's hand in the dirt and going after RG3. Let's get aggressive. Now, on our tackling, you guys talked about tackling, particularly with this running back. It took this league 4 years to figure out that you can't tackle Brandon Jacobs high. Right? He was running over people. It's only the last 2 or 3 years when people were going low, at the knees, below the knees, and I'm not talking about taking the guy out of the game again. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a tackling technique. We got to wrap up. We got to tackle low on this running back. If we're going to try to bump him down, tackle him high, he's going to carry us, and he's going to fall forward, and it's 6-7 yards on every play. All right, 24 points tonight, we win this game. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get there. I was just kidding about the golf. I'm too keyed up to play golf.
let me ask you this, Lynn. Do you go to a game, do you wear a Giants jersey, or do you just wear blue, or?
Well, I'm going to wear a blue coat tonight. I don't care what people say about the temperature. I'm going to wear a blue heavy coat, but I don't wear my colors in opposing stadiums. I just don't do it.
You just want to stay.
When I was younger, Anita, I used to do that. But
right.
You know, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington.
I know it could get pretty rough.
Philadelphia. That's the way it is. So okay, but you know, if the Giants get within 100 miles of me, I gotta go.
All right.
So I'll put some clothes on, but nobody will know I'm a Giants fan.
Lynn,
I'm very quiet. Very quiet.
Enjoy the game tonight. I'll be looking for you on the tube.
Okay, man.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, Lynn. Appreciate the phone call.
Again, 201-939-4513. I know we have some callers on, but I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
No, I just wanted to build upon what Lynn was alluding to about how important it is for them to tackle Alfred Morris and Robert Griffin III and stop the running game. And the reason I touch on this is look at Robert Griffin III's statistics throughout the course of this season. In wins, he has not been called upon, Anita, to throw the football a lot. And that's helped him. That's why his completion percentage has been nearly 100%.
19 attempts?
He was 14 of 15.
Right.
In that win against the Eagles, threw 27 times against the Cowboys. However, you look at the losses this season for the Redskins. Lost to the Panthers, he threw 39 times. Lost to the Steelers, he threw 34 times. Lost to the Giants, he threw 28 times. Lost to the Bengals, he threw 34. Lost to the Rams, he threw 29. you get him up there where he has to make 30 to 35 pass attempts, that plays in your favor.
So share with us, do you have that? I don't mean to, because I don't know what stat you're looking at. But
I'm just looking at the game log.
Okay, then look at the games that he has won. What are his, because I might use this on our pregame show tonight. What are?
I'm glad I'm helping you with the research angle. Look at this, making your job easy.
Week
one against the Saints.
Just when he wins, what's the most amount of times that he has attempted to throw the ball?
Well, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he actually did throw 35 times and managed to win that game. That's the most attempts
close,
he's
though?
Made. Well, it was a 24-22 game, so okay. It was a very close contest. And if I recall, there were a couple of missed field goals by Billy Cundiff in that game that they luckily overcame because Cundiff was still the kicker at that time. Against the Saints, though, in week one, only had to throw the ball 26 times, 73% completion percentage. In the win against the Vikings, threw 22 times. His completion percentage was 77%. And then you look the last two wins against the Eagles and the Cowboys, he had a completion percentage of 93% against the Eagles and 70% against the Cowboys.
And how many times did he throw?
He threw 15 and 27 respectively.
Okay. So pretty much if you, this would be a fair stat to say, if you keep RG3 below 30 attempts, passing attempts per game, chances are they have a better chance of winning. If you take away the run and force him to pass more than 30 times
correct.
A game, you have a better chance of winning.
That's the key there. If you get his pass attempts up in that 30 to 35 ballpark, I think that plays right into the hands of the Giants, given also the personnel that I think they can throw out there. But if they let Alfred Morris get 25 to 30 carries and they're able to milk the clock, win the time of possession battle, and all Robert Griffin III has to do is throw 15 to 20 times, that is not going to play into the hands of the Giants. That could be a big X factor in terms of how this game plays out tonight.
Got it. 201-939-4513. We're going back down south to D.C. Alan's joining us. Alan, welcome.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Alan. Alan, I believe you're surrounded by a lot of Redskins fans down there. So has the trash talk started already this morning?
Oh, they're already in the Super Bowl. I'm telling you that right now. They're already in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, man, we got like, well, Lance is saying, man, we got to win that time of possession, keep them off the field. And also the turnover battle. I mean, we had four turnovers against them last time, and they only had two, so we have to win that. I mean, I think it's going to be 27-24 Giants. And we just got to test their secondary, just keep them, test that secondary and keep Alfred Morris from running all over us like he did last game. And, you know, I think, you know, I said it before, if we go into a shootout, I think we have better weapons than they do. You know, I know they got Garcon back, but we also got Nix back. So I'll take Nix over Garcon any day. And they lost that. They lost Fred Davis, and that was RG3's security blanket, I think. He got exposed at this time.
Well, they have had a couple of games, though, I think, to work Logan Paulson into the mix. And the fact that you mentioned they got Pierre Garcon back, there are a couple of different weapons now that he can turn to that he had the luxury of a couple of weeks ago. And as far as Akeem Nix is concerned, Alan, keep in mind, you know, he even alluded to this and some of the coaches alluded to this. He may never be 100% when it's all said and done this season. But the fact that his numbers have progressively gone up is a positive sign. The key for Akeem Nix is he needs to constantly draw attention. As long as he can do enough on the football field to either bring a double team or bring the coverage to his side, that should open things up for Victor Cruz and maybe more importantly tonight, Martellus Bennett. The Redskins are terrible against tight ends. This is a player that I think they can really utilize tonight if the matchups play into their favor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Martellus Bennett is going to be our security blanket tonight. I think we have to expose that secondary as much as we can. I think Eli's going to have a great game today.
All right, Alan, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Again, 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow, and, of course, you. We're on Twitter. You can find us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Our show question today is, give us your Monday Night Football prediction. What do you think will happen tonight, the final score? How will the Giants win? How will the Washington Redskins win, if you think that they'll win? I did want to talk about the running game. A few things. Number one, even though Ahmad Bradshaw did not practice this week, and if he was at practice, he was limited, didn't do much. And this is going to be the story moving forward. I mean, this is nothing new. I do believe that he's feeling healthier. I think the bye week really helped him out a lot. You saw that explosiveness back against the Green Bay Packers, which hopefully will carry over and into tonight, because this is with Andre Brown out, they're really going to need him. Now, they did bring in Ryan Terrain and Craig Lumpkin, okay? Now, Kevin Gilbride's system is so intricate. They played a lot on the scout team. They practiced, I should say, this week a lot on the scout team. Do I anticipate one of them to be active? Maybe Lumpkin for goal line carries if needed, because he's a little bit bigger. He's a little bit stockier. He's got a little bit more power. He's not so much a finesse running back as Terrain is. So, number one, that is going to be interesting to see which one, if both, if one, if either, are going to be active tonight to help in that running attack. I believe at least one of them will be. And if I had to put money on it, I'd say Lumpkin. Now, let's talk about...
I didn't mean to interrupt. One other quick note about Lumpkin that I think gives him an edge. He also will contribute to special teams, and that's why I think he's the more attractive option to be active over Terrain. And the other thing that Gilbride talked about, he was surprised because they've caught on to the system rather quickly, even though they've been here very few days and have played primarily on the scouting team.
So now let's talk about David Wilson, okay? This is a young man who has unbelievable talent, unbelievable ability. He is an absolute playmaker. He could change the course of a game in a hot second. And we've heard it all season long. The issue is he doesn't really understand defenses. He can't really read defenses. He doesn't know where the blitz is coming from. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the reason that we're not seeing him more on the field is because coaches are worried about Eli Manning's health and keeping him healthy. And a running back, part of his responsibilities are pass protection. And David Wilson just doesn't get that. Now, Henry Hanoski has spent time here at the facility helping him out, helping him with learning how to pass protect, learning the system, watching film, reading the Redskins' defense. So kudos to Henry Hanoski for going the extra mile and being that big-time team player for David Wilson. That's first and foremost. But how much – now, the Washington Redskins, their pass rush is nothing to write home about. I mean, they're pretty much middle of the pack. So with that being said, not so much of a threat in regard to Eli Manning. So I'm curious. That's another thing. Again, I keep on using the word interesting. I'm interested to see how much playing time. I'm anticipating a minimum of 5 snaps, 5 plays, 5 carries in that backfield for David Wilson. He cannot and this is another thing, Lance, there is no room for error tonight for him. He cannot miss a block. He cannot misread a defensive scheme. He cannot drop a pass. He cannot fumble a ball, or he will be back on the sideline. And with that much pressure for a rookie, and I know RG3 and stopping RG3 is the biggest storyline, but that's another huge storyline tonight is David Wilson, how this team utilizes him, how many snaps he gets, how well he plays. Because look, that Sunday night football game that we just watched last night, I told you this when I walked in. I really feel that if Brown would not have fumbled the ball, I think the Eagles would have beat the Cowboys last night. Granted, a lot more needed to happen in order for them to do that, but I felt the momentum was swinging their way. They were able to move the ball down the field against the Cowboys at will. And just that fumble at that key time in that game changed the entire outcome of the game. That's how crucial and that's how concerned Tom Coughlin is when it comes to fumbling issues, especially with a rookie like David Wilson, who has a history of fumbling in college.
Well, the turnover battle always influences the outcome of the game. You go back to the first matchup between the Redskins and the Giants, 4-2 in favor of the Giants, in which they were able to force 4 turnovers, and a lot of those Redskins turnovers came at critical times where it looked as if Washington was going to at least walk away with a field goal. Redskins only have 20 sacks on the season, so you're 100% right. Their pressure packages are nowhere near where they were early in the season because they lost arguably 2 of their top pass rushers, Brian Arakpo and Adam Carriker, and really have not been able to fill the void. With respect to David Wilson and the pressure, you drafted this kid in the first round for a reason, Anita. Okay, he understands what pressure is all about. He's had 12 weeks to digest the offense. They've had the luxury of moving him along very slowly because of Andre Brown's emergence. There's no better opportunity staring him in his face. I think the way the snaps will be divided tonight will depend on how this game plays out. If the Giants are down early and have to be the comeback kids, expect to probably see a lot of Ahmad Bradshaw because of the pass protection schemes. If the Giants keep this game close and are able to win the battle at the line of scrimmage, be the more physical team, I think if Bradshaw gets up to the 20-touch barometer, then Wilson will have an opportunity to maybe even see more than five snaps. If the Giants claim that they have a package for David Wilson, and we've heard a lot about this throughout the course of the season, but what's been the biggest issue? Well, the game hasn't played out the way we wanted to, so that's why we haven't been able to all of a sudden bring his package to the forefront. This could be an opportunity to not just throw one or two plays or a little curveball the way of the Redskins. This could be an opportunity to showcase Wilson a little bit more. And everybody talks about Robert Griffin III. He's seeing the Giants for the second time. The Giants are seeing the Redskins for the second time. How about the Redskins not really seeing much of David Wilson the first time around? Maybe that could help the Giants out tremendously by catching them off guard. This is a different style running back than Ahmad Bradshaw, and that's what you want to be able to throw the way of a defense. You want to be able to wear them down with time of possession, but Ahmad Bradshaw comes in. He has a different style of running than David Wilson, and I think that this could be a game as long as the trend of the game goes in favor of the Giants. If they're down by two touchdowns, do not expect to see much of David Wilson.
Again, 201-939-4513. We go to Connecticut. Alex, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I think Pierre Garçon is probably going to be the X factor tonight. RG3 loves him. He targets him more than any other guy on the Redskins.
Well, who else does he have?
Well, I mean, Santana Moss, but he's not. That's not saying much.
No.
Well, he killed the Giants the first time around.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But now they have Garçon. Who do you think is going to match up with him? Do you think it's going to be Webster?
I do believe it's going to be Webster, but keep in mind, and Lance, curious to get your thoughts on this as well. Prince Amukamara has stepped up in a big way, especially the past few weeks. That Cincinnati game, even though the Giants lost, that Cincinnati game was arguably probably the best game Prince Amukamara played. And then coming off of that bye week, I think he earned the trust of a lot of the coaches, and specifically Merritt, his DB coach, where now they're letting him play close up. They're letting him play with more physicality. They're not worried. They're not having him 5 yards off. And I think that's a sign of a coaching staff who really believes and trusts in their corner. And I think he's complimenting Webby really well. But I'm going into this game assuming that Corey Webster is going to get Garçon. Your thoughts?
And Webster has had some breakdowns the last couple of weeks, but I would agree with you. I think that they're going to go to the veteran presence in Webster to match up with Garçon. You could see them mix and matching up a little bit throughout the course of the game, but you talked about them bringing up Prince Amukamara closer to the line, and Anita, that was a big difference factor and a big X factor against the Green Bay Packers. They were the more physical team at the line of scrimmage. There were a couple of weeks back where, even against the Steelers, for example, Mike Wallace, no competition in terms of challenging them at the line. They were able to get right into their routes and make big plays down the field. Green Bay had trouble. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers was running for his life at times? Because option one wasn't there, option two wasn't there, and option three certainly wasn't there. Outside of that Jordy Nelson big catch, Green Bay was not able to get its passing game going, and it wasn't necessarily just because of the pressure that they were getting on Aaron Rodgers. I think a lot had to do with the way the secondary played in terms of coverage and also at the line. This is a team, and I know you're not that impressed with the Redskins receiving corps, but Aldrick Robinson, you let these guys get loose, they can make plays down the field.
It's not that I'm not impressed with them. I just, whenever I criticize a player, I always say all due respect. I don't believe Pierre Garçon is a legitimate number one in the NFL. I think he's a 1A. I think he's a high two. I don't think he's a legitimate. I wouldn't put him in the category of a Hakeem Nicks or an A.J. Green or Larry Fitzgerald, which, by the way, can Larry Fitzgerald, like, join a team with an actual quarterback? Because seriously, my heart goes out to this guy. I really feel that he is a Hall of Famer. But if he continues to play on teams that hit the quarterbacks just absolutely stink, he will not make it into Canton. And it's so upsetting, and it's so disturbing because he's such a great guy and he's such a great person and he's such a phenomenal wide receiver. But you know what I feel like it's like the Barry Sanders syndrome, where it's like even though, yes, Barry Sanders, Hall of Fame, he's my favorite football player ever of all time. But if he ever played with a quarterback who was legitimate and a wide receiver that was threatening, defenses, Barry Sanders put up all those yards with 9 in a box. So I don't feel that, even though we talk about Barry Sanders, I don't feel that we saw the true potential of Barry Sanders. And that's how I feel about Larry Fitzgerald. We talk about Larry Fitzgerald. We know he's a great wide receiver, but he hasn't even scratched the surface. I mean, we saw glimpses of it when Kurt Warner was his quarterback and he was playing opposite Anquan Boldin. But, man, I hope he gets out of Arizona. I hope he gets on with a team. And I'm bringing this full circle. I don't know what his contract issue is.
They just signed him to a recent extension. Yeah, so he's got big mega money coming his way. And I don't know if they're going to be able to dump that contract off to anybody.
Then get this kid, get this young man a quarterback. But, you know, everybody else in Washington besides Pierre Garçon are threes. They're threes and they're fours. Give Pierre Garçon a legitimate one to go alongside Pierre Garçon. And then running back, look, Alfred Morris, great. But you have to give Mike Shanahan and his blocking schemes and that offensive line credit as well. We know the history behind Shanahan. He can make any running back look great because of the style of offense and the way that they run the ball. So because I don't feel that RG3 has a lot of talent or a lot of weapons around him, he creates that for himself and for others, then I have even more respect for RG3. But give him a legitimate number one, then I think he's threatening right now, then I think it's going to be off the charts.
Well, I think that nobody's considered a number one because they don't have that name, that notoriety. I mean, Pierre Garçon doesn't have as big of a track record because he was playing with the likes of Harrison and Reggie Wayne when he was with the Colts, and he's also been hurt this season. So perhaps in a year or two, we may say he could develop into a true number one. I think it's maybe a little too early to tell how far Garçon could come.
Jury is still out.
I would definitely say that he's still out. I mean, Garçon, you look at the course of his career, and I'll bring up his numbers right now. I mean, he came into the league in 2008, was with the Colts for 4 years, but as I mentioned, never really had the opportunity to blossom because Peyton Manning would spread things out. They had tremendous tight ends on that team. It wasn't necessarily the focal point just on the wide receivers.
Right.
Now he's all of a sudden in a system where he can be the number one, but he's only playing in 5 games this season in his first year in Washington, so it's a little too early to tell exactly what he can do.
You know, I see guys like AJ Green, who just to me, literally, like, that's number one. That's like top 5 wide receiver in the NFL. Like that's what I'm talking. Like Hakeem Nicks, a healthy Hakeem Nicks, that's a legitimate number one in the NFL. I think there's only a few. I'm not saying that all 32 teams have number one wide receivers on their roster, and those teams do well. But
the funny thing is, AJ Green doesn't have a lot of good compliments around him, Anita. And he's able to still get the job done.
Unfortunately, that Mohamed Sanu kid
got hurt.
The two games, and they have Jermaine. The 2 games that Sanu guy played was just tremendous, and it really opened up things for AJ Green. If you saw his numbers this week compared to the last 2 weeks, not so hot. Let's continue with our calls. We go to Virginia. Wow, a lot of calls.
D.C. area.
From the D.C. area, we've got Drew calling in. Drew, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning, Anita, Lance.
How we doing, Drew?
First foremost, Anita, yeah, I'm a huge Larry Fitzgerald fan, and I personally would love to see him come to the Giants. You talked about Pierre Garçon. One thing I will say that Pierre has is he definitely has some speed. And
absolutely.
And that could be scary, especially for our secondary. And again, as I've always said, our secondary goes by way of how our front four play. That said, man, we gotta, you know, as been pointed out, we've been a little suspect against the run. And then the other issue is obviously our third down play. Gotta get that under control. I think if we can do that, you know, we have a good chance of stopping RG3 and boys. My score for tonight is 31-21 G-Men. And That's it. One other thing I want to talk about is the offensive line, and you was talking about David Wilson. I think it kind of, to me, I think it's going to depend on how the offensive line starts out playing early in the game. You know, that may go ahead and allow David Wilson to play a little bit more, but we got to have that offensive line. I know Anita said that, you know, the Redskins aren't that great, you know, defensively, but they could still put enough pressure up there to disrupt the offensive line and especially our running game. Anyway, I got 31-21 G-men, but we got to get our running game going.
I Drew, and I agree with you, and I think it does start and end with the play of the offensive line. The offensive line did a great job, and David Deal got hurt early on in that Packers game. Sean Locklear comes in, and at times you would think, well, maybe that disrupts the continuity of the O-line. It did not affect them. They did not miss a beat. If they can do that and do that for four quarters, they will be able to run the ball successfully. So that certainly is a big key moving forward tonight.
Again, 201-939-4513. Just quick note, the Washington Redskins, their secondary is extremely suspect. They're giving up a ton of yards to opposing quarterbacks and opposing wide receivers. So Eli Manning going into this game definitely has the upper hand in regard to passing the ball and having success in the passing attack. Linebacker-wise, they have London Fletcher, who, man, he's long in the tooth, but he's doing something right. He's had a great year, and I think that's the strength of the Washington Redskins is their linebacking core. And then their defensive line, look, they've had a lot of hits, they've had a lot of injury, and it's not that they're not good, they're just their pass rush is not one of the best in the NFL. And so, my point is, if that's the biggest concern about David Wilson is picking up the blitz packages and whatnot, going up against a defensive line that doesn't pose that great of a threat as to getting to Eli Manning might open up the opportunity more so for us to see a little bit more David Wilson. And really quick, just to make a point about the offensive line, David Deal was limited at practice this week because of that burner that he did suffer against the Green Bay Packers. And Sean Locklear started at that tackle position all week long at practice.
And he started often throughout the course of this season, so it would not be a surprise if he's out there tonight.
I do believe that David Deal will be active, but I would not be surprised if Sean Locklear is starting at that tackle position tonight.
And Deal has come off the bench. He's been used at that swing tackle spot. Both players have experience in both of those positions, so that could very well play out that way. And just real quickly, piggybacking off of your point about the defense, their weakness is in the secondary for the Redskins, but let's not forget they're extremely opportunistic, Anita, in terms of getting to the football, jumping routes, and I think that's why the Redskins' defense takes its fair of chances, because it knows it cannot rely on a lot of quarterback hits and a lot of sacks, so it hopes to make some game-changing type of plays with the secondary. And you'll look back at the first meeting, there were some questionable throws by Eli Manning. That was during the stretch where he was off a beat. As long as they protect the football today and are able to still rely on those short passes, which I think they've done a great job against the Bengals and the Packers, utilizing the running backs, not necessarily going for the home run, then there's no reason to think that the Giants will put it in danger where the Redskins can make some of those big-time plays, or else you're going to give gifts to Washington's offense.
Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. We've got about 10 more minutes on the show talking everything Big Blue, getting ready for the Monday Night Football Showdown against the Washington Redskins. We go back to Maryland. We should have taken the show on the road. We should be down there in D.C. at some like sports bar having mimosas and Bloody Marys and having all these people down there come out to our show. That's what we should have done.
I'm beginning to think there's more Giants fans in D.C. than there are Redskins fans.
Let's go to Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we have the most untraditional of ways, the NFC East Showdown Monday Night Football. I swear I wish we had Howard Cosell calling this game tonight live. We got the powerful, mighty Super Bowl champion New York Giants going up against the up-and-coming, trying to show something, Washington Redskins. They will not have a chance tonight. Apparently, the Giants have a powerful running game and a deep passing game with an incredible new defense run by that great Chase Blackburn. It's going to be exciting. explosive. Hello, Lance. Hello, Anita. How y'all doing today?
How we doing, Ed? Man, we may need you to do a new intro for Big Blue Kickoff. I'm liking that Howard Cosell theme here.
Yeah, call me. I'm down. Anything for Giants Big Blue, I'm with it.
Absolutely. And you know what? Real quickly, Ed, you touched upon Chase Blackburn. That's a name that we haven't really spent a lot of time on. He played a great game against the Green Bay Packers. He's a big reason why they didn't have an issue with gap control. He brought his A game. He helped stop the run and was also good in coverage.
I'm telling you, Chase has helped us out so much this year. He should be almost MVP of the defense, for real, because it's hard being a middle linebacker. And then not only being hard, but able to get the guys together to understand the type of play you're going to call just so you can have the right defense set, because these quarterbacks are always switching up stuff just because your small little inch of a movement is so big and so huge. I am just so thankful that Chase Blackburn stepped up and playing great. And I think Paysinger is going to be another great one too. They're just doing it, all of it. And I can't wait. Come on, going to the game tonight. Very excited.
Oh, good for you.
We appreciate
you guys. I hope to be there Sunday. It's my first game. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to make sure it happens. It should be still going on. Against the Saints, coming home, back home to the beautiful place in the world. We got a 4 o'clock game after this one. It's all 1 o'clockers, and they all on the East Coast. No excuse. We should run the rest of the games out of the year.
Well, real quick, Big Ed. That Baltimore game could possibly be switched to 4 o'clock. Just FYI, stay tuned.
Oh, okay. That's good. That should be really good there.
Well, you seem pretty excited. You seem
to go to 8 because that should be a real prime timer.
Fox protected both the Atlanta Falcons and the Baltimore Ravens game. So the only game that could be flexed is the Philadelphia Eagles. And if the Giants...
I'll stay at 1 o'clock because... the Eagles aren't going to do much.
But if you watch that game,
it scared me a little bit.
Yeah, that Brown kid looked pretty good. But Big Ed, thank you.
Just hold on to the football. He's going to be awesome.
Thank you for your phone call. Really appreciate it, Lance. Let's talk about this for a second. Obviously, tonight is the Monday Night Football game against the Washington Redskins. Next week, New Orleans here at home, and that is a 1 o'clock game. Correct. Then,
well, there's, you know, the Saints game is after 4:15.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's a 4 o'clock game. So then you have Atlanta, and so the Saints game, if it was going to be flexed, we know it by now. So that game's not going to be flexed. Then Fox protected Atlanta and the Baltimore Ravens. Although I am hearing that the Ravens game, it's a 1 o'clock game right now, could be moved to 4 o'clock. And the only game that still possibly could be flexed is the Eagles game. No game is protected that final week, but I think the only time that game, and from what I understand, there's 4 games that they're eyeing to flex that week, and the Giants-Eagles is one of them. I was very surprised by that. The only way I think that game gets flexed is if the Giants have not clinched by then, and that's one of those win-and-you're-in situations, right?
Yeah, I would assume that it would all be dependent on the situation at this point. And it's way too early to tell whether or not that's going to be flexed. I tell you, from a broadcasting perspective, I have no complaints if we don't have another primetime game after tonight. I enjoy having those Sunday afternoon games. I'm sure the fans enjoy that. It makes the work week go a little bit easier.
See, but that's interesting because I enjoy the evening games. I enjoy the Monday night and the Thursday night games because it allows me to be a fan on, like, yesterday. Yesterday, I was an absolute fan. I went into the city. I got my spot at a local watering hole. I sat there with my iPad and my cell phone and all my fantasy football leagues and all my friends. And I watched all the games on all the big screen TVs. And I yelled and I screamed and I shouted. And I lost my suicide pool to San Francisco. Thank you very much, David Akers. You know what I mean? I mean, it was cool. I got to be a fan. Like, we work for my entire career. I've always worked on Sundays. So I appreciate and I look forward to those Sundays that I have off that I'm able to be a fan.
Well, it was nice, the fact that the Giants did play on Monday night, so that you could take in the Sunday games. But overall, if you got to do an 8 o'clock game every night or every weekend and you got to be up the crack of dawn the next day, it's not always fun from that perspective. I'll leave it at that. But just getting back to the Week 17 schedule, you mentioned that there could potentially be other games in the mix. Just looking, you know, Houston's going to be at Indianapolis that week. I know the Colts are three games back of the Texans, and the Texans will likely have wrapped up the division by then, but that's a big division race, at least right now, that has not been finalized. Perhaps that's a game that they toy with. You have Chicago with Detroit. Bears could still be in the wild card conversation at that point, and Baltimore's at Cincinnati. So that's just another further reason why, you know, we really don't know whether or not that Philadelphia Giants game is going to be flexed. But it also showcases the fact that the Giants have a difficult schedule moving forward, and that's why this game tonight is extremely important. The Cowboys won last night. Dallas is 6-6. If the Giants were to lose tonight, then the Redskins and the Cowboys would be tied only one game back of the Giants with four to go. So this is a lot more football ahead to determine who is going to win this NFC East race. If the Giants win tonight, you could potentially be up three games ahead of the Redskins, two games up on the Cowboys with four to go. That's a nice comfortable situation to be in compared to the prior situation that I just laid out. So this game is critical. This is an opportunity to make a statement, to gain more of a cushion, and also show that this team is consistent. You know, last season at this time, the big conversation was what Giants team is going to show up each and every week. And yes, they were hurt. And that maybe was one of the factors why they struggled. Because when OCU Mignore returned, all of a sudden this team clicked. And I thought the same thing was going to happen once Chris Canty came back. That hasn't necessarily come to fruition. But Kenny Phillips is back now. They came off the bye. So getting back to full health clearly has changed the level of production. Now all of a sudden you have some more injuries. Deal's banged up. Phillips is banged up. You know, the linebacker core is not yet fully healthy. You may be working in a rookie running back to take on a bigger role. Is that going to change things up again this week? That's, to me, the biggest thing that the Giants can prove tonight. Is this a team that now is going to start to click at the right time? And the Giants, compared to some other teams, have proven the old cliche, it does not matter how you start the season. It's all about how you finish. They proved that last season. Okay, they were an up-and-down team through the first 14 contests. All of a sudden, they caught fire at the right time. This is now the time of the year where you want to start playing your best football. I can't think of a better opportunity to do that against one of the most explosive quarterbacks in this league.
201-939-4513. Let's take one more call before we sign off today. We have Vic in Connecticut. Vic, what are your predictions?
Good morning. I'm going to predict 28-24 Giants. They have to come back to win the game, as usual. I'm just sorry I got stuck in back of Big Ed because I don't have my Don Meredith impression down there.
It's okay.
I tried when I was on hold, but I couldn't quite get it down. So, I would just say a couple quick things. And Stephen A. Smith on ESPN about a week or so ago kind of made a really good point because he's a big Giants fan too. And he said that, you know, he's afraid. He almost wished that they lost against the Packers last week so they could have their emotional game this week. He's kind of worried about, you know, did they kind of just spend it all last week? And I kind of agree because of them being up and down. But I think that the real key to this game is you can talk about RG3, you can talk about turnovers and all the things that, you know, we talk about all week. But I think the biggest thing is the Giants have to utilize their best defensive weapon, and that's their offense. I think if Eli can be accurate, the running game can be somewhat productive, and RG3 is not on the field, you don't face any of those prohibitive things. So that was kind of be my comments. I think it's going to be a great game. I don't particularly like the night games. It is tough getting up at 5:30 the next day, but these are some really important games. And I think tonight being a division, a conference foe, I think you know, this is. I'm just hoping this is not Washington's Super Bowl. That's all.
Vic, thank you for the phone call and their legitimate concerns. I did have a chance to talk to wide receiver Hakeem Nicks, and I asked him, I said, the common theme that we heard after that Green Bay Packers game, Lance, was that this team was like energetic. They had a lot of passion. They came into the game. Because let's face it, the performance against the Green Bay Packers and the performance against the San Francisco 49ers, hands down, that football team that took that field, that Giants football team that took that field, in my opinion, could win another Super Bowl. But the problem with the Giants is we don't see that team each and every week. And my question is, why? Why is it? Why that much passion against the Green Bay Packers? Why that much passion on the road against the San Francisco 49ers? But you're not going to have that much passion against the Dallas Cowboys? The one team is your arch rival in the NFC East, let alone the NFL? So what is it? Hakeem Nicks said, well, we had a really bad taste in our mouth after the Cincinnati Bengals loss. The bye week was much needed. Keep in mind, this is a team that, obviously, we know played for the Super Bowl, so their season lasted a lot longer than most. A team that does win the Super Bowl has a very busy offseason in regard to appearances and whatnot. Then you start your OTAs, and then this is a team that had its last possible bye week in the NFL, week 11. It wasn't like their bye week came at 8 or 9, which a lot of teams, that's kind of where they like for it to fall. It came week 11. So it was a much needed bye week. Then he said they came off the bye week, they felt good, they felt energized. They knew they were playing Green Bay on a national stage, and they wanted to send a message. They wanted to make a point. And I said, that's all encompassing. That's why. I said, do you feel that that's going to carry over to Monday Night Football against the Washington Redskins? And he said, absolutely. He said, again, it's a national stage. It's the Washington Redskins. Everybody's making a big deal about RG3. And he said, and coach has been communicating to us just how important this game is in regard to where we sit in the NFC East. So the players are aware that they know that if they win, pretty much, Lance, you know, they've made the playoffs.
Well, they're in a very comfortable spot.
Exactly.
And that's why this win would be extremely critical. So the amount of motivation is there for the taking. I really don't think that they need any more bulletin board material to get focused for a contest like this. But the other thing I wanted to throw out as to why I think they were so productive against the Green Bay Packers, when you have 2 weeks, Anita, to strategize and scheme out your opponent, more often than not, you should be able to win, regardless of the level of talent, because they had 2 weeks to not just scout the Green Bay Packers, but to self-evaluate, step back, see what went right, see what went wrong over the first group of games. That's what I think played a huge role as to why they were so crisp jumping out of the gates against the Green Bay Packers. And I'm not saying that they're going to take a step back tonight, but just keep that in mind. In terms of why they've been up and down, and I know Hakeem Nicks shed some light on that, I think it's also been because of clearly the offensive line. That, to me, has been the biggest issue as to why the offense specifically, not so much the defense. You've had games where Eli Manning has not had good protection. You've had games where they've been bullied at the line of scrimmage and running backs have not been able to find holes. When those two things are removed from the equation, you're seeing the running game successful and you're seeing Eli Manning have plenty of time to throw the football. And you're also seeing them convert successfully on third down, which Vic also brought up earlier. That's how you get continuity on offense. It's as simple as that. When you're able to run the football, you're taking the pressure off of Eli Manning. And I know, you know, Vic just mentioned our most recent caller, their best defense is their offense. And I would agree, time of possession is huge. But when you say the best defense is your offense, that to me does not mean that, okay, dependent on how this game plays out, we're okay with Eli Manning throwing the ball 40 times. That's not going to be a recipe for victory. They're good when they're a balanced offense. When they throw the football more than they run the football, that doesn't always add up to a victory. Why they beat the Green Bay Packers? For the first time this season, they ran the ball 31 times, and they threw the ball 30 times. That's the type of balance that you want to have moving forward.
But knowing Kevin Gilbride and knowing Eli Manning and knowing that they're going up against a secondary that is one of the worst in the NFL, Lance, you and I both know that Eli's coming out to throw the rock tonight. Come on.
And that's fine. But that doesn't mean that you can abandon the run. Just because you think that you could pick apart this Redskins secondary right from the start, that's fine. If they want to look to set the tempo and test them out early, but the way you close out games, Anita, is you run the football. The weather's going to start to get colder. And if they are fortunate enough to make the playoffs and host home games, how are you going to win cold games in January and December? Do you want Eli Manning to throw the ball 50 times in cold weather games? No, you want to be able to run the football. So this is where you start to practice those themes and those trends. It starts in the regular season, late down the stretch. They can pick apart the Redskins secondary. If they have success, that's great. That'll mean that the Giants are in position to win the game. But come the fourth quarter, that's when you start feeding the football on the ground.
Really quick, before we do sign off, you're talking about the weather conditions. It's absolutely beautiful right now in Washington, D.C. I think the high today is 65. I think it's only going to be 50 at game time, and it's supposed to be fantastic football weather. So just FYI.
Well, it's mild here, too. So obviously the East Coast benefiting from some positive weather after it was a bit chilly the last couple of days. But I'm also referring to the jet streams and the cold fronts that are coming in maybe a month or two from now, not necessarily tonight. But, hey,
but
if the auditions
play,
are ideal, that's
at,
right.
They do play at Atlanta, right?
Correct. They
they're
are at Atlanta.
They're home against New Orleans. They're at Atlanta. They're at Baltimore. That could be a cold game. And then they're back here against the Philadelphia Eagles. And then...
But then, obviously, if they make the
and
playoffs.
And then who knows what?
Yeah, who knows? You never
which,
know.
Which, I mean, how crazy is the NFC right now?
Well, I mean, I've got the playoff picture in front of me right now.
Will you call that up really quick before we do sign off? I'm curious. If the season was to end today, what would the Giants get a bye? Would they not? Who would they play? Would they play a wild card? How would it work?
Giants would have the number four seed if the playoffs were to start today. And they would host the Chicago Bears. That would be the 4-5 matchup. The Packers, though, keep in mind, they're 8-4. If the Giants win tonight, the Giants would tie the Packers, and they have the tiebreaker because they won the head-to-head matchup.
So
the Giants could move to the third seed.
So if they were the third seed, who would they
play? They would host the Seahawks if the playoffs were to start today, assuming that everybody has played an even amount of games after tonight's matchup wraps up.
Which, by the way, did you watch that Seattle-Chicago game yesterday?
I did. That late overtime touchdown.
What is – I mean, can we just – can we – like, rookie quarterbacks in the NFL this year, RG3, Luck, Russell Wilson, like – and you know what? I'm even going to throw in Tannehill. I know he doesn't get a lot of respect down there in Miami, but, like, it's just – It's mind-boggling to me. And I heard Mike Ditka was on Mike and Mike this morning, and the question was posed, like, we've never seen anything like this before. What do you think the biggest difference is? And Mike Ditka said, it's because you have a lot of ex-NFL coaches that are now coaching in college football, and they're bringing
point.
A pro-style offense to college football. College football is – they've taken a step up. They're running pro-style, NFL pro-style offenses. So quarterbacks that are coming into the NFL are now pro-ready because they've played in that system their entire college career.
And even on the defensive front, too. Quarterbacks are being exposed to advanced defenses that you're also seeing on the NFL level, and that's why the adjustment period is much shorter for quarterbacks to jump from college to the pros. Because you're right, across the board this year, the play of rookies has been tremendous, and it's not as if they're having, you know, two or three games of success. They're also helping their teams win and be in the conversation of the playoffs. Look at the Colts.
So with that being said, last question. Because I've had so much fun hosting the show with you today. Who threatens you more? Who are you more concerned about if you're a Giants fan? I'd be more concerned to play the Seattle Seahawks because I love the way that Russell Wilson's been playing compared to Jay Cutler.
Well, the Seahawks, I think, have the threat, the mobile quarterback. They don't necessarily have a lot of wow names in
the receiving corps,
but they are able to run the football, so they are
Golden
balanced.
Golden Tate has stepped up.
And they've got a good defense,
Sidney
too.
Rice was a huge factor yesterday.
My concern with Seattle, and I was just going to get to the point that Dave Melroy was alluding to off the air, which those of you did not hear, but you're right, the suspensions could take a toll right now on the Seahawks defense.
Right.
Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner facing a potential four-game suspension. They appealed as opposed to trying to serve it now. They're now entering a stretch, which is critical. They're only a game up right now on the next team that's on the outside looking in. Dallas, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, all 6-6. If Washington was to win tonight, they would go to 6-6. One game up on those four or five teams, you lose not just one starting corner, your top two starting corners,
right,
who are big physical corners. That's why they have such an advantage on the opposing receivers. The Seahawks could very well get thrown out of the playoff picture because of those suspensions.
And what I know they're appealing them right now. So when is that response?
The hearing could potentially happen as early as this coming week, and then it depends on how quickly they'll
issue.
What
is the substance?
Well,
that...
it's reportedly Adderall, which has been a very big substance across the board that has brought many suspensions, including its hit home here for the Giants.
Andre Brown, Tyler Sash.
So that's why there's a good chance that they won't be suspended for this weekend's games, because keep in mind, normally the league announces suspensions on Tuesdays because you need to give teams an opportunity to prepare for the week upcoming.
Right.
It's highly unlikely, since the hearing hasn't occurred, that they're going to be able to be kicked out of this weekend's game.
And do we know who Seattle plays this coming week?
I could bring that up for you right now in terms of Seattle. It would be interesting to actually just take a look at Seattle's upcoming schedule, given that they may lose both of their corners. Let's see, they have Arizona at home. Then they go to Buffalo and then finish the season hosting San Francisco and St. Louis. So three of the four games are against division rivals. I mean, listen, with their talent pool, they could go 2-2. I don't think that's crazy. They could even maybe go 3-1, depending on how they play.
Which, by the way, how about that Arizona Jets game yesterday, that Arizona was in a position to win, but they leave in, and they don't bring in. No. Who's there?
Well, Skelton and Cobb are hurt.
No,
I mean, Skelton, but he,
Skelton
I don't
was
think,
dressed.
I don't think he's 100% though, still.
Still. I mean, yeah, true. I mean, it was just, that was pathetic. He had wide open wide receivers that he could not get the ball to.
There was a throw to Fitzgerald, I believe, in the end zone that he was extremely off on. And that's been Lindley's trouble the last couple of weeks. They also could not run the football yesterday. I think if they would have been able to run the football, they probably would have been in a position to win the game. Beanie Wells, what, got maybe 2 yards per carry yesterday?
Okay, I promise. This is the last question. What do you think, actually, two questions. Number one, they finally pull Mark Sanchez, but when Tim Tebow cannot play because he's dealing with broken ribs, interesting. And what do you think happens moving forward? Do you think Sanchez lost his starting job yesterday? You think it's over for Sanchez?
Let's put it this way. Rex Ryan has kept the New York papers in business for the next few weeks because the headlines, and this may disrupt Giants fans, by the way, regardless of what happens tonight.
With the Giants.
The Jets are probably going to steal the headlines all week long. And you know what? That's not a bad thing, Giants fans. Let the Jets take all the pressure off of New York. Let them take all the storylines and the headlines. Doesn't matter. You know, the Giants need to go about their business, which they've done season in and season out. To me, it's going to be very interesting to see what Rex Ryan determines the rest of this way. I'm not so concerned about the rest of this season, Anita. I'm concerned, if I'm a Jets fan, for the offseason. You've just invested a lot of money in Mark Sanchez. If you don't feel he's the quarterback of the future, are you going to keep him around to be that expensive of a backup?
They really
have a lot of questions they need to answer in terms of the draft and the depth chart as quarterback.
How can you, after this season, how can you move forward with him as your starting quarterback?
Well, I don't know what the structure of his contract is. I'm sure everything's not guaranteed. But remember, you're not just going to throw the guy by the wayside if you have to owe him a lot of money.
But look at Seattle. Look what Seattle paid Flynn to come there. And I think he's the highest backup quarterback, right? Yeah. I think he's the highest paid backup right now.
But Russell Wilson's not costing them a lot of money right now. If Russell Wilson was making the same type of money as Matt Flynn, you could not juggle both of those contracts. When Wilson's up for a new contract, then the Seahawks need to step back and say, okay, we can't keep both of these investments. The Jets are now in a position where you've invested a great deal of money in Mark Sanchez. You have Tim Tebow, whatever you want to call him, your experiment. And now Greg McElroy could very well be your answer for the short term. You're not going to keep all three of those quarterbacks around. They need to lean on somebody. They need to get some stability at that quarterback position. I don't know whether that's going to be the draft. Right now, I don't know if the answer is currently on the roster.
All right, I promise this is the last question.
I don't know about this. I'm getting skeptical at this point.
Because it's already 10:45. Your thoughts on tonight's game? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I mean, it goes back to what I touched on right from the start. I think that if the Giants can stop the run, something that they've struggled with throughout the course of this season, you are going to put Robert Griffin III in a position to have to win the game and put the game on his shoulders. He could potentially win a game when it's put on his shoulders, but the numbers have not shown that throughout the course of the season. That's why I think that's a good trend that will swing the momentum in favor of the Giants. And on offense, get back to the style of football that you were able to showcase against the Green Bay Packers. Prove that this team has gotten over the hump and is now more consistent, specifically in running the football. They made big strides. Ahmad Bradshaw looked healthy. He looked energized. He looked like he was back to being a rookie all of a sudden. They got him involved in screen plays. He was able to hit holes hard. If he can do that and maybe take on a bit of a larger load, they'll be okay for this stretch run. If he can't do that and they need to call on David Wilson, you know, will Wilson be able to answer the call with respect to not only taking on carries, but as you mentioned, Anita, and maybe perhaps a lot of other people are still skeptical, in pass protection? Is he going to be able to step up, look at the schemes, and be in the right position to protect Eli Manning? That is going to determine how much playing time David Wilson has moving forward, because the Giants have proven they will not shy away, regardless of whether Bradshaw is healthy or not. If he's got to play an additional 10 snaps, they'll throw Bradshaw out there just because they're more comfortable in the pass protection with him.
All right. That was your last question, I promise. You sent me an update in regard to the fantasy. So nobody has anyone, obviously nobody has anyone going tonight because they can't, because it's a Giants game. So, so who won this week?
You're sitting right next to him.
Oh, really?
And you're sitting next to the second place guy, too.
All right. Lance won this week. He had
finally.
He had Tony Romo with 25 points, Sproles with 4, Benjarvis Green-Ellis with 12, Calvin Johnson, huge day with 23. Dez Bryant showed up last night yet again with 21, and Greg Olson with 10. Now, Melroy, great here as well.
Big redemption week for Melroy.
Andrew Luck with 28 points. I got 11 in that, and he was worth $3. That's it, right? $3 for Andrew Luck. Gave you 28 points. Bryce Brown, tremendous night last night, 27 points. Trent Richardson, 15. You and I had the same running backs. Wes Welker, 16 points.
Had a big game. Welcome.
Andre Johnson with 5 and Vernon Davis with 1. What's the deal with Vernon Davis? I really thought that this was the week. Anyway, good job, gentlemen. So, congratulations.
This was another squeaker. Last week we had a close one, too. I think I was second behind Tino, and it was a tight battle. So I finally got over the hump, notched my first victory. So now here's the question. Did you send out the overall standings, too? Okay, here we go. Overall standings. So Schmelk hit 1,000. So he's setting the tone. Paul's still in second. Anita, not too far behind, just 6 points back. And then I now am up to 6. Look at that. Out of the cellar. It's about time. The late surge by
Meta. Roman is at the bottom with 818. Okay.
And you got out of the cellar too, Mel.
Now, here's my question. Now, here's my question for you. Are we just going to week 17, or are we taking this into the playoffs? Yes, you should.
Well, we have a third mic here, Mel, right here. Throw on the illustrious third headset. Get you involved.
In the fantasy competition, we're going to take this to week 17.
Okay.
And then come playoffs, we're going to do something similar to what we did last season, where we're going to draft a team in the beginning of it and take that team throughout. The details are not hammered down yet, so I can't get too far into it. But we are planning to end this one at week 17 and start something fresh for us and the fans come playoff time.
So, but for the playoffs, then we're drafting a team, and that's the team that we're taking through. So there's no more week in, week out selecting players. That's the team that you need to ride through the playoffs.
The way we're talking about it now, that would be correct.
So then the strategy, therefore, would be, Lance, that you draft players who you think, A, are going to have the most longevity, that hopefully will play 4 games.
Yep.
So you want to possibly pick a wild card team that you think will make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, we did that last season, if I recall, when we were doing our weekly league.
We had that really long drafting episode.
Yes, we had that very long, that half-hour drafting where we'd go back
and forth. We'll do it offline for the fans. We won't subject that to that. But I do put it out there to the fans. We very much want your participation in this. We want you guys to make your own teams. We want you to compete against us. We want to see, you know, are you smarter than Paul Dottino? I doubt it. But, you know, there's only one way to find out. Compete against us and, you know, take part in this fantasy competition.
And by the way, before we call it a show, I would be wrong if I didn't bring this topic up, considering I've discussed this when you and Paul are not around. But I have thrown this out on Twitter, Anita, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here. But
no,
we got to answer this for once and
you
for
have
all.
To ask or answer.
Well, I mean, we need an answer from you more specifically. What? I have said that if Paul surpasses you in the overall standings, when it's all said and done, that he should be able to answer all of your starts and sits for at least one weekend. So my question is, are you willing to sacrifice that?
Yes,
and let Paul take on?
Yes, but I okay, let's really quick. This is my third year working with Paul Dottino. I, for 3 years, tried to get him into fantasy football. This year, and because Melroy created this fantasy football competition, Paul's finally involved in fantasy football. But what Paul does is he takes the players that you have listed and he spends an hour with doing all his research.
He does. He really does.
He does his research, and he finds out where are the great matchups, this, that, and he equates how much money he wants to spend. He has a formula in regard to how he spends money. Like, for example, I'll play the one player who I think, like, I thought going into this week that Matt Ryan was going to crush it at home against the Saints. Thursday night football, like, he had a week, you know, like, because they played on Thanksgiving. I said, I'm going to spend whatever I need to spend on Matt Ryan. Obviously, he blanked the bed. So he did not do well for me. But it's a risk reward for me. Paul doesn't do that. Paul won't take the most expensive player. Paul looks for value. He does a lot of research, and he looks for value. So me, in regard to answering everybody's Twitter questions, like, I study every team. I study every matchup. I'm like, I'm all over it. So I'd be happy to let him do it.
Well, we'll tell them to get their questions in extremely early that week, so Paul can get his research done before the starts and sits need to be answered for Sunday.
And I get at least 200, I would say a minimum of 200 fantasy football questions between the hours of 10 a.m. and noon on Sunday. And Paul
doesn't sleep anyway. What are you worried about?
He's hosting the MSG show.
There's commercial breaks. He puts on his Nikes. He runs around the stadium. Come on. I mean, this is another activity that he'll be looking forward to.
I'd be more than happy. I'd be more than happy to have him answer fantasy football questions for me. I just don't know if we should set up
a little chat window. He's power walking one time. He goes on one of his 45-minute power walks. He's got his Twitter open, and he'll just answer everyone's football questions.
He can multitask. We need to set up the logistics of this. That's what we need to do. We'll tease the listeners a little bit. Yeah. We'll speak to Paul Dottino off the air.
He's only 6 points ahead of me.
That's true. He had a down week this week.
Of a reason why we want to spice things up here. Give you a little bit motivation. Yep. Give him a little bit motivation. We got to get things working up here for the last five weeks.
How about Schmelk? Because Schmelk's blowing it up right now.
Yeah, he's
riding his Dallas Cowboy players.
But Dottino's been on the record of not being a fan of fantasy. Yeah. Now all of a sudden he's coming into the forefront. See, Schmelk didn't have that reputation. Yeah. So that's why it's not a big deal.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction now. Schmelk will not end. Not only will he not end in first place, he will be in third place or worse by the end of it all.
I don't know, Melroy. We may need to tell him about that tomorrow.
That's really?
Fine.
Why?
I just sense it. I'm sensing trends. Howard Cross kind of did the same thing where he was really good in the beginning.
Yeah, he's falling off.
And then a couple weeks were mediocre, and then he's going to have some bad weeks. I'm saying Schmelk's going to have 2 out of 4 bad weeks.
Well, I understand he likes to play the Tony Romo and the Dez Bryant. And what's the Dallas Cowboys matchup the next few weeks?
Well, they have the Bengals. Then they have the Steelers, the Saints, and they close out against the Redskins.
Okay.
We'll see.
But he didn't. I don't believe he had Tony Romo this week.
No, but he had Dez Bryant.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people picked Dez Bryant.
He's been surging lately.
He's been a touchdown machine.
But the past few weeks, he has played a lot of Cowboys, and they have delivered for him. Look. Mm-hmm.
Well, the offense has had to play from behind each and every week. So.
Bob Papa played Tony Romo 25 points. So, I mean, it's not that it's a bad pick. Tony Romo 25 points, Dez Bryant 21.
Does that mean that we could see you maybe take out Tony Romo for a ride this week? Are you giving a little tease as to where you may be heading?
I don't know.
Come week 13? This is the second week that I've had
a player go out with an injury, and really, because I
those are the killers.
Who was it this week?
Jordy Nelson.
Oh yeah.
Jordy Nelson killed it for me. And I put all that money in Matt Ryan, and he only gave me 10 points.
That's the worst. When you invest, the way I always look at it, when you invest the money in a guy, you mm-hmm. want him to return. If he's $10, he has to get you at least 10 points.
Yeah.
If it's $20 on Aaron Rodgers, he better get you 20 points.
Really quick, last thing I'll share with you.
I don't know about this. You've been teasing that also a long time.
Giants listeners
are right now. Well, Anita said about a half hour ago she was going to give her last question
we'll
or last answer.
So they'll hear it on the podcast.
Okay.
But anyway, continue.
I play in 12 fantasy football leagues.
Only 12.
Okay. I made it to the playoffs, or I'm going to make it to the playoffs. I'm set to make it in the playoffs in 9 of those 12.
That's a good percentage.
I had my first playoff game this week in one of them. I came in as the number one seed, so last week I had a bye. This week was my first game. I had Matt Ryan, who gave me 10 points, A.J. Green, who gave me 5, Andre Johnson, who gave me 5, Chris Johnson, who gave me 7. Yes.
That must have been the best team in August, though. You drafted that team.
Vernon Davis gave me nothing. I had Darren McFadden on my bench. So needless to say, I lost. But, like, you know, that's the thing about fantasy football is that you can do all the study. You can do all the preparation. I was the number one seed. I had the best record. I scored the most points. I had a first round bye, and I go into this Sunday, and all my players blank the bed. So I lost. I mean, so, like, you can do all the preparation. You can know everything there is to know. You can know the matchups. You could feel good about the matchups, and then
nothing.
That relates to real football too.
That's true. Luck has a lot to do with it, and I'm not talking about the quarterback.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen, it has been a fun morning. Let's talk about what we have going on. I'm going home. I'm getting my hair did. I'm back here for makeup at 2:30.
No fantasy points for that, by the way.
No.
In case anybody's interested.
I'm back here for makeup at 2:30. You can watch MSG at 5 o'clock. We have Giants opening drive live. Myself, Roman Ovin, Harry Carson, Mike Crispino. Then I jump in my car. I head into the city like a bat out of you-know-what. And I make it to the fan, WFAN, around 6:30, 6:45. I'm on air at 7:10. I'll be hosting the pre-halftime and post-game show on WFAN with Carl Nelson. That is my long day.
Not so much cooking today.
Now you...
Pretty average day.
What do you...
I'll be here 8 Eastern, right on Giants.com. We'll have our full pre-game show. We'll take phone calls. We'll get you set for the full broadcast. And in between every commercial break, we'll break down the action. And we'll have our full post-game show where we'll also take your calls immediately following the game. So that all gets started 8 Eastern right here on Giants.com.
Fantastic. Thanks for tuning in. And go Big Blue.
Have a good one.